Blog Talk Radio.
So I say expect the unexpected. Seeing before you know it, this covenant's not in vain. Once the promises start showing, so put your faith in motion. Praise him before you get it. Encouragement's on your radio, so come and listen in. Covenant Cafe, come get some praise in your system with Lamont Ferguson. Poetic laces in the building for the moms and pops and children. Ushers, pastors, musicians, listen and pay attention. Expect a change and a difference. I'm too focused to let any doubt get in my way. Ultimate faith in God, I believe whatever he say. So glorify his name, he's more than worthy to be praised. I'm loving this covenant, Covenant Cafe.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and the First Lady of the Covenant Cafe,
Charlie Baltimore. Hello.
And
Poetic Lace.
We are family. Yes, yes. So we would like to say welcome to the Covenant Cafe. We got a lot in store for you. And before we get into that, Lace is going to definitely lace us with our word of the day.
All right. So our word for today to start the show is going to come from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Very simple. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Now, this when I first heard the scripture, this is when I was younger, I used to be like, all right, wow, so you telling me good people can't be affected, I can't be around evil people, Jesus was around sinners, da-da-da, right? You know, just quick to be defensive, not even knowing what I'm blabbing out my mouth. Mm. And the thing is, if we're really truly considering evil company, what is company? We talked about this before previously on the shows. We talked about how the movies you're watching, the music you're listening to, how you're letting it take up that space. You are allowing it to be a company, a friend to your mind, a friend to your soul. And look how it is corrupting your train of thinking. If you watch pornography long enough, you're going to have a sexual appetite growing within inside of you. if you're around alcoholics or drinkers, people that drink long enough, a taste will begin to develop in one's mouth. Not saying that you will immediately do so, but there will be a taste starting to form. This scripture is very true as far as if you were connecting before I spoke to you guys upon what it said in Peter or in John, how it talked about a righteous man is tormented by seeing the deeds of the wicked. Seeing and hearing the deeds of the wicked. So with that being said, a lot of times I'm looking, if you look at nature, if you look at other people, either you are going to conform / adapt to the environment or you're going to leave, period. So that being said, now my understanding as I have grown older as far as what this scripture is saying is truly telling us that even Jesus spoke it when he said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's the same thing with evil company because it can lead you to hell. It will lead you to hell. It will corrupt your bad habits. It will corrupt your good habits. So if you're really thinking about, really just look at yourself and what happens when you're around your Christian friends and what happens when you're around your quote-unquote sinful friends, sinners. Really look how the game changes. Have you ever noticed how you're more comfortable to say this? Or how you're cautious about saying this about Jesus, saying that, or you're more free or whatever to do you. But when you're around the saints, around your pastor, around believers, You want to make sure that you're upright. You're watching your mouth. You're very careful with your words. You're very cautious on your behavior or how your image is displayed in front of them. But when you're around quote-unquote sinners, quote-unquote off sinners, you're just you. You're just doing you. Whether you sin or not, you don't feel that you'll be judged. So with that being said, this whole scripture that I'm sharing with you guys is to challenge your mind to really be observant, to be alert of what it is that you are allowing to take up space with you. What are you allowing to be your company? Like we said, not just on what movies and music and the things that you are allowing to enter your mind, but also the people that you hang with. The things that you do, and on top of that, are you that evil company that's corrupting someone's good habits? It's very important now that we start challenging ourselves and challenging one another. The situation with the Jordan case, now what's funny is, well, not funny, but I live in downtown Jacksonville. The courthouse is literally two blocks from me. If that, I can just walk out in 2 minutes, I will be at the courthouse because I live in downtown Jacksonville, not far from the courthouse at all. So I got a chance to see the traffic, the riots, hear the complaints, hear all that stuff, right? And a lot of people are complaining, saying that this is another Trayvon Martin situation and justice wasn't served and da-da-da-da. I'm not here to talk about that. We can get on that. He was found guilty of 4 out of the 5 charges, but that's another topic. That is a whole different topic.
Okay.
But where I'm going with it is you had people, me and my girlfriend, we actually had an awesome talk. She was talking about how can we better the community, look how the judicial system is, and look how this and that is going, da-da-da-da-da-da, right? Just saying a lot of stuff, which is real talk. And the conclusion that I came up with is something that I've been saying, is that we're not going to get that sound, complete help from the government. We're not going to find a savior in our president, a savior in our government. We're not going to find a savior in the man next door. The savior is Christ Jesus, and what he left us is the Holy Spirit, which dwells inside of us. And since the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. It is up to us to be active in our community. It is up to us to challenge those evil companies that are corrupting our good habits. So if we see a young child that has his pants below his waist or a young lady who has slutty clothes on, it is up to us that have gained maturity or have knowledge or have foreseen this kind of stuff before to see the road she's going on. It's up to us to challenge her, not challenge him or her in a negative way, but in a way of like, hey, pull your pants up, or not even that. Even if it's on, hey, did you know, in jail, that means, you know, you would be the one that got raped and you want other dudes to rape you. Or even to a young woman, like, you know, that's kind of, you know, it makes you look really bad. I know you don't care how people see you, but I do know that you want to be successful and have people respect you. I mean, the whole thing is a lot of people, what I'm learning from doing outreaches and events, I'm talking to these younger people. And the thing is, and it's funny because I'm young myself, but I'm talking to these kids, and they're literally saying to me, oh, I didn't know. And it's baffling me. They literally are telling me, I didn't know that's what it meant when I'm sagging, or I didn't know this is why guys treat me like that, or I didn't know this is what I look like to everybody. So this is why they act the way they act around me, or why they judge me off top. I didn't know. So the Bible was true when it says my people perish because they lack knowledge. So what I'm saying is that we start sharing that knowledge. I mean, we're not going to end violence in this country. We're not going to end violence in this country. I mean, because we see biblically what's going to happen. But we can at least make things a little better. We can at least introduce people to Christ. We can at least open doorways for them to be more prosperous in the life that they're living. And when I say prosperous, I'm not talking about wealth, but I'm talking about moving forward. A better life in God, a better life in where they're walking, because everybody's lifestyle is going different as well as their desires. So just bringing all that home, do not be deceived. Evil company does corrupt good habits. So it's, if you are who you say you are in Christ, then that means you have the authority to tell demons to flee in Jesus' name. And a demon can be as simple as a dopehead or someone who's on their way to being a crackhead. Mm-hmm. You can literally help that kid out. You can literally speak something into their life. Or you can literally speak away retardation of the mind. Retardation, I'm not talking about the ESC, but I'm talking about someone who's literally a reprobate or doing things over and over and over. It is insanity to do the same thing over and over and to believe you will get different results.
Mm-hmm.
You can literally speak against that. So in one context, challenge yourself as far as stop fooling yourself thinking that it's cool to be around evil people and listen to evil things and do evil things and thinking that you're going to walk righteous your whole life. That's just foolishness. And then two, help all those who are walking in it. Give them a word. I ain't telling you to be corrupted in it, but help them. Give them a word.
Mm. That's some powerful stuff. Now, with this verdict.
Okay, now we can get to that. So this is the complaint. This is the complaint about the thing. I mean, it can go either way. You can have a lot of arguing. So you had Jordan Davis, who was murdered, who was shot by Michael Dunn. Michael Dunn was last night found guilty on 4 out of the 5 charges. The one charge that everybody wanted, it was a mistrial on it. He was found guilty on 3 attempts of attempted murder, second-degree attempted murder, which was because there were 3 other young men who were in the car who didn't die. Then he went found guilty also on firing a firearm at a vehicle. But he was found not guilty on first-degree murder. Now, this is the thing, callers, if you are there, feel free to call in if you find me incorrect in any manner. The thing is about the first-degree murder, that is a charge that is to be, for lack of a better word, it is inspired based upon premeditated murder. So the issue was the prosecutor was going to have to prove that Michael Dunn woke up and said, I'm going to find a way how to kill Michael, how I'm going to kill Jordan Davis today. And then he had to execute that. So it wasn't that the judicial system was necessarily, quote-unquote, flawed because he wasn't found guilty on it. In my opinion, the prosecutor presented the wrong charge. He should have been charged with second-degree murder, which is a murder. It's a straight-up murder. He murdered him.
Mm-hmm.
But to try to accuse him of a first-degree murder, you're saying that he premeditated this event, and this event was planned even so a week out until that day. And then it was executed, but it wasn't the case.
Therefore,
that charge was beat.
And that happened with Trayvon as well.
Exactly right, and that's the thing. It really comes down to the prosecutors involved, as far as what are you charging them. So I had some friends that called me last night who are I wouldn't dare say their names all over the air, but they have some kind of political advantage as far as them knowing the system. And one of the guys told me that this was the reason why they were charged with first degree, he believed, because it was political. The people forced it upon the prosecutor. We want first degree murder. So you had a whole bunch of rallies, a whole bunch of people arguing, blogging, this and that, saying all of these things. We want first degree murder. So you got first degree murder when the charge should have been second degree murder. And like I said, if you feel that I'm wrong or you know something I don't know, you have permission to call in and speak up. But this is what was presented. So, like you said, it is very similar. It's a very similar thing to Trayvon Martin. It's a very similar thing. So when I spoke on the scripture earlier about us, we're not going to find a savior in our government. We're not, especially when justice was presented by political advantage or the needs, what the people want, the wants of the people. It's truly going to be up to us. It's going to be up to our unity. And mind you, I'm not talking about a black-white. This is not a black-white war. So I just want to rebuke that spirit and whoever head it is in now anyway. But the thing is, we have to unite completely as the human race, as people, as believers, as Christians. It's like one thing that kind of makes – I'm going to just be real. That makes me mad we had a God Belongs to My City rally here in the city. And it was like not that many people, like as far as whenever any other thing we can fight, in, like Black Panther comes out, everybody comes out when it comes to some murder or whatever, when it comes to a black-white murder. But when we're trying to fight to keep prayer in schools, we're trying to fight to keep God in our city, y'all not raising up. Or if there's white-on-white crime, or there's black-on-black crime, we not raising up. We not rallying. There's no kind of – but when there's like a division rally, a division war going on,
mm-hmm.
everybody has mm-hmm. something to say. When I say division, if it's Spanish against Mexican, like if it's Puerto Ricans against Mexicans or whites against blacks or blacks against Puerto Ricans, everybody got something to say quick.
Mm-hmm.
Quick.
Motivated.
And it's just racism. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to black on black, white on white, Mexican on Mexican, Puerto Rican, European, European, whatever the case may be in this country, we're not saying nothing. When it comes to, man, we need to keep God in here. You see they taking prayer out of everything. Nobody's not saying anything. So what are we uniting for? Is this really, are we really rallying for hate? Because now mind you, I'm not against the rallying because as you see, Martin Luther King, a lot of civil rights leaders, and they were black, they were white civil rights leaders too, so let me put that out there, that rose up for a stance, but it wasn't off of hate, it was on love.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my the whole thing. I mean, we spoke on a little bit on the trial and how I tied it in with the scripture. And what I'm saying the challenge comes down to is that we're not going to find a savior in anybody in government or the political arena or even my neighbor. And our Savior already came. He died. He rose. He left us the Holy Spirit, which is to help us get through this life. And if we have this Holy Spirit like we say we do, why aren't we helping one another? Why aren't we fighting these things? If I see one of these little kids and he's carrying or he's thinking about buying a gun or he's getting bullied, why am I not going to encourage him or say something to him before he pulls the trigger? Or even mm-hmm. if I'm selling guns, let's say I'm the one that's selling guns to these people that are killing people. Am I saying mm-hmm. anything or am I just selling the guns? Am I saying, you know, this and that, da-da-da, or like say something about, hey, you know, asking questions. Why are you buying a gun? Or just a mentality thing, just checking out his mental, planting some kind of seeds. Because I'm not saying everybody's going to be the next Martin Luther King or the next whatever. Gospel artists or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that everybody has a part. Everybody has a role, and we all can play it. Just by saying something, pulling somebody to the side. Like, you know your friend has a temper tantrum. You know, if you know your friend has a temper tantrum, you know this. You don't sit down and talk to him. You don't feel any mm-hmm. you don't feel any way. But you're the first one to get a news story and say, yeah, he's crazy. He always been arguing. Well, that's been your friend for the last 20 years. What seeds have you been planting for the last 20 years in this guy that you always argue with, so you say? Or even a young lady, yeah, she gets around. You know she gets around. Why didn't you tell her to keep her legs closed? Or you knew he was suicidal. Why didn't you give him that hug when you saw him crying?
Mm-hmm.
That is my issue. And I'm not saying it as if I'm perfect because I have come short on times as far as when I should have delivered a message from God or encouraging someone or something I saw and I ignored. But I issued a challenge to all of us. We have to raise up and we have to stop. All we do is blame, blame, blame. I cannot stand that. How is it that you just blame, blame, blame and you list all the problems, but you don't have one solution? That's not mm-hmm. accurate to me. If you don't have any, if you're not a part of the solution, then what are you a part of? It's too close to the problem. Too close.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time that we raise up from that. I know I had my little soapbox yep. there for a second, but, you know.
Well, the thing is, we all have a part in this. Just as Charlie, you know, Charlie, she does a lot of fundraising for different situations, you know. Everybody has their part, and some people want to play a part when it's safe.
Mhm.
Mhm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, when they're not going to get judged by their people are so afraid to say, look, this is right, that's wrong. Doesn't mean that we're perfect. I mean, I may say something that you don't agree with 100% and vice versa, but that's why I have open mm-hmm. dialogue about it. You know, I know that when those prosecutors are looking to do a charge, not only are they looking to charge whether right or wrong, what charge they choose. They know the litmus test for each one, kind of what the odds are that they're going to sink that charge and get it to stick, and then give that family justice, and the, well, mm-hmm. not just the family, I'll say the victim who's dead, to give him mm-hmm. justice to what the crime was committed against him. There's that dice mm-hmm. they roll of, A, does the evidence match what they want to charge him for? What can they get the jury to buy and accept mm-hmm. and prosecute on? There's a whole litmus test there, but you're right. People are afraid to speak out. I'm not. I like you. I'll get on the soapbox and just be like, you know, mm-hmm. this is this, that's that. But you and I, all of us here, we will use God as the first thing, you know, regardless of what the law says. The law is approved right now for abortion, you know. Mm-hmm. We don't agree mm-hmm. with how they're killing innocent babies, but it's the law. So if you don't like the law, then we got to change the law. But that was what Martin Luther was about, Martin Luther King, but to do it in mm-hmm. a peaceful manner, you know.
Correct.
But that's a juggle right there.
Right. That's true. And even I forgot to throw this out there, Lamont, just to give you clarity, why the people are so angry. The people are angry because they're saying, well, if he didn't kill Jordan Davis, he would have got off. That's the whole quote-unquote argument right now, because he wasn't prosecuted for murder. He was prosecuted for the attempted murder because he didn't kill. No. They said if he would have killed everybody in the car, they're saying that he would have got off. Everybody's like, well, he would have got off because if he got off on the shooting of Jordan Davis, if he would have killed the other three kids, he would have beat
the case. They would have got away. They could say that, but I beg to differ.
But I don't think that's the case. Yeah, I agree.
No, because it's either murder, attempted murder. Attempted murder is easy. You try, obviously, you try to kill them. We can see that they're not dead. Now, how did you kill them, and how are we going to measure the levity of that death? That's all they're doing. What's the levity? Just because they put a name on it, the boy's dead. You know, the dude needs to serve time. Easy. But, you know, whether it's the death penalty or years in prison, that's the difference on any murder case. But I mean, you know what the Bible says. There's you know, that's how we want, us in our minds, I want to judge it. But, but that dividing and profiling, got everybody up
there. And I agree with you because, like you said, this is how we want to judge or this is how they want to judge it. If he would have killed all four boys, I don't think it would have been the same charges. It would have went down another way. I think the prosecutor would have, I mean, it's like you can't play. I say all this to say you can't play the what if game. It's like we're looking for reasons to be angry now too. Like he's doing time.
Yes,
he is doing. He's going to do at minimum 60 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, who's behind? Listen to this thought too. Who's behind the racial stirring, and what do they have to gain? This is the argument I've been arguing with people for the last year, ever since Trayvon thing, is that, look, yes, this happened. We as a people need to come together and fix what's wrong. The gun is not the problem. Guns do not walk down the street and just shoot people. People use cars. They drink and drive. Do we ban you and I from driving because Joe down the street drove his car drunk? No.
Right.
So we can't. Right. We got to quit focusing on the gun as the issue. They could have used a fingernail file. But the thing is, there's a societal problem. But these little organizations, I raise money for other organizations. Certain organizations have an evil intent. They are using the death of a child to go sell T-shirts or to do this, that, or to fund their little projects. Yeah. And it's like, are you serious? You know, why are you trying to stir the pot? Who makes money off that? The government? You go get in trouble, shoot, you know, go start fighting. People drink, get drunk. They stir the pot. And look at what happens, the downfall of it. There's a whole bunch of fines for the government. I'm not being anti-government. I'm just saying there is a hidden entity, the adversary, that has this little platform that makes a whole bunch of money on making everybody miserable. And as long as you keep them all stirred up, they're over there doing a whole bunch of stuff you're not paying attention to now. They're passing laws pretending it was meant to protect that boy, when knowing full well it wouldn't have made a difference. It would not have made a difference, you know, and that's the key behind it. They use it as their catapult. Oh, all those children died. We had our President Obama get up and speak on it, and I am not anti-Obama by any means, but he went out there to speak, and I said, okay, 7 years ago he'd have pulled the trigger on those children himself. I know that's harsh, but believing in abortion and any abortion any time, what was the difference? 7 years. Those kids were killed 7 years later versus 7 years earlier. So you got to stand for life or not for life, in my book. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But they have their reasons, and now I got on my soapbox. They have the reasons for why they want to promote it. to earn their little kickbacks or whatever. You know, it's very hard to see through their eyes and then listen to what they're saying. Why are they saying what they're saying? What litmus test are they speaking from? Authority, you know, and why? Very dangerous.
And as in my opinion, as far as the political arena, what these presidents promise us, I really believe in the beginning their heart is in the right place, but by the time they get to that spot, they have the dirt to clean up from the other president, and not just the former president.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the Senate and the Houses, they all have a whole.
There's a whole lot of pressure. I don't know, and like I said, I don't care who's in there, Republican or Democrat. They have to grease the palms of the people that took care of the previous people. So if my company, I have a $1 billion company, and I've been getting free oil, you know, for my, well, not complete free oil, but let's say 50% off or whatever. I'm just using something simple, off of my oil. Now, you're in there. Look, I supported you. I gave you X amount of dollars. I'm still going to get my 50% off of my oil. So he has to let, you know what I'm saying, he has to let that ride because, you know, so, if, you know, I could not handle that position because you go in there with, you know what I'm saying, you go in there with tendencies of I'm going to take care of this and that, but then you get in there, it's a whole different ball game.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep. That's
and that's the same thing with these cases, you know, these trials, is not, well, not the same thing, but to switch gears, these trials, if these lawyers will go in with the right thing to convict these people with, they won't be getting off. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And some of them may be running for office, like you're saying. I understand your line. That prosecutor might be thinking of running for a position in an office and maybe using this to catapult himself. You know what I'm saying? There's, what are the underlying reasons for all their decisions? That's what you got to look at first and foremost. Why? You know, and only if you delve into it, you know. But, yeah, it's bottom line, we got societal problems. What's going on? People aren't being raised appropriately, bottom line. They aren't making good choices between right and wrong. If we all, A, weren't drinking drugs, all those kind of things change their choices. Who knows? We don't know what happened to that person in the day that set them off, you know, and that's not an excuse.
Right.
But those are all societal issues of, you know, what pushed somebody to that limit to just be like, you know, not only do
right.
I not care about my life, now I don't care about yours, I'm just going to pull the trigger, not knowing they can't call that bullet back. You know
right.
what I mean? The bad choices. And, you know, that's the saddest part of all. In a perfect world, yeah. But, you know, hard.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. I know I need to get some water. I know my co-host, Dennis, we've all had our soapbox moment. So we're gonna get into a little John P. Key, wake up. You know, society, we need to wake up here.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, before I get into that, there's someone's calling right now. Let's get on to our line here. Caller, you are on the air with the Covenant Cafe. Caller on line one.
They're being shy.
Are you there? Mm-hmm. No? They call dropped. So, like I said, we'll get into John P. Key Wake Up, and we'll come back with more amazing stuff. I have some interesting, weird news for you guys. Really interesting stuff. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is John P. Key Wake Up here on the Covenant Cafe Society.
Forever.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get back into our – we have another guest, one of our guests calling in, so we'll come back to John P. Key, wake up. So let's try this again. Caller, you are on the air with the Covenant Cafe.
Hey, how are you?
Hey. Hey. Who do we have the pleasure of speaking with right now?
This is Reverend James Cleveland. No, no, I'm kidding. He's going on to glory to see Jesus, but this is Byron Cage. I'm here.
Yo, did you hear our awkward silence? Was like, hold on, wait. That is not
I know everybody was like, Lord, did the rapture come? Nobody told me.
That's hilarious.
Yes,
it
was.
Wow.
Yes, how are you guys?
We're doing just fine. We can't complain, one day at a time.
Great, great. Well, I apologize about last week's mix-up, but I'm glad that we could connect this week.
That's no problem. We're going to let our guests present themselves. Acknowledge you for calling in this week. We definitely appreciate it. And Lace will be doing the interview as of right now.
Okay.
All right, Reverend Cleveland, how you doing, sir?
Well, I don't feel no way tired. I've come too far from where I started from. No, man, I'm good, man. I'm good. It's just been a long
Amen.
Day of ministry and church and Black history, and then also I have a radio show on Sundays from 12 to 4 on the FM Praise Radio 1 station here, so. It's been a day, so forgive me if I'm a little silly, just a little tired, but I'm good.
Nah, it's all good, man. We praise God that you even came on the show and not counted as robbery. Thank you, sir.
Oh, no, not at all. Unless you got some money. You got all some right. money, then stick it up.
I downloaded a song, so you when iTunes holler at you, you'll be good.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
All right, so before we get started, I definitely want to say it's an honor just to speak with a man of God, period, man. We bless God for everything that you are doing on the battlefield, what you are doing for our communities, and just being who you are. You know, we thank God for that. So I definitely want to put that out there before we even started the interview.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, the pleasure is mine, my brother. I appreciate the opportunity.
Definitely. So now we got out of the way. I like to do what we call a blind interview. Call it blind because we don't know who you are. You are still Reverend Cleveland in our minds. So
right.
Who is Byron Cage?
Oh, just a man of God who loves the Lord, loves serving God's people, and can get downright silly sometimes, obviously, as you all have experienced tonight. but I am a very serious brother who loves the Lord. I love serving. I love doing what he has anointed my hands to do, and not be limited to just the four walls of the church. But however he, you know, wants to move and decides to move, I just want to walk in his purpose and in his will for my life.
Amen. Glory to God. We want to know now, okay, we got a gist of who you are and who God has called you to be. But we have some of our audience that are listening. It's like, okay, I hear what you're saying, but where is he from? How can I relate to him? What is his testimony that makes him so strong or so bold to tell me that I can follow this same road or my road in Christ Jesus?
Well, I think what happens is when people listen to different individuals, and each artist is different, obviously, because they have different testimonies.
Right.
But I think people, when they hear my music, the reason why they're so attracted to it or the anointing of the Lord hits them when they listen to it, because they realize that it's not about me. It's about glorifying him. And no matter what challenges that I've had in my life, no matter what issues or things that, you know, people had, like the woman with the issue of blood, we all serve the same God who gave the same Jesus to give us the same grace. So my testimony is probably no different than anybody else's. We've had challenges in life, but God is still faithful. And as we've been faithful to him, his word has always been true, that it may not look good, it may not feel good, but all things do work together for the good. But I do thank God, growing up in a Christian household since I was born in Grand Rapids, Michigan, a long time ago. And I had a wonderful privilege of growing up with the R&B family, DeBarge, at our church, then called Bethel Pentecostal Church. And then, of course, they went to do R&B music, and we moved to Detroit, and that's where, you know, the Lord blessed me to be under the late Reverend Donald Vales, who was my minister of music. Fred Hammond was the bass guitar player. I played the organ and directed the choir and sang. And, you know, then the Lord took my way to Atlanta, Georgia, where I got a scholarship in music to go to Morehouse College. That's where I met Bishop Eddie Long. He was Reverend Eddie Long at the time. And I became minister of music of his church for 12 years before the Lord called me to go to the church where I've currently been serving, Ebenezer AME Church in Fort Washington, for the past 16 years. And in those 20-some-odd years, of course, the Lord has blessed me to record 9 records. And, you know, the awards and stuff are nice that people like you, and I appreciate the gestures that people make to you to say we appreciate what you've done, and they give you the Stellars and the Soul Train and Grammys and all that kind of stuff. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I'm still a servant of the Lord just like the next person. Nothing makes me any greater or any better. It's just that God gave me opportunity in the season of my life and season of my time. And so that's kind of who I am in the nutshell, without going into any sad stories. I don't have no sad story. Mm-hmm. God has been gracious to me. He's been faithful, and I just admonish people all of the time, if you desire to live this life that we do at this level of gospel music, there's a level of discipline that you must have in your life, and there's a level of consecration that you have to have. Yes. You know, I live what I sing about.
Yes.
And most people, especially young people, they think it's because of the riffs and the runs and this one can hit this note. At the end of the day, the Bible says that gifts and callings are without repentance. Talents are just given to man, but can you destroy yokes? And the only way you're going to do that is if you've been through something and you came out on top because you totally relied on God for the victory.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yo, you said all of that without taking a breath. Love it. Love it. As a matter of fact, Lamont, I actually want to hear some music. Give it so he can breathe.
So we have your song, Troubles Away. So what we're going to do is play Troubles Away, and we'll come back to you, and you can explain that song to us, okay?
Okay.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have the great Byron Cage here on the Covenant Cafe. The song, Troubles Away.
Come on, put those hands together, Chicago. I don't care what you're going through. Tell somebody you can wave your troubles away. Everybody do like this. Nothing. Well, I got news for you.
You must be paid.
Come on, come on.
That song, that's a dynamic song there. Now, everybody has their own writing process. What is your writing process when you write your songs?
Well, now, that particular song, I wish I could take the credit for. That was written by Gerald Haddon, the same guy who wrote Isaac Curry's In the Middle of It. In the middle, he wrote that song for me, and I love this song. There are those who don't agree with the philosophy that you can wave your troubles away. They believe that if you wave them, once you finish waving them, they're going to be there. But I spiritually believe that the Word declares that if we can speak those things that be not as though they were. So I believe that when I speak something, that I put it in the atmosphere, and even if the trouble seems to prevail right then, I believe that as I continue to seek God and ask Him, He is going to do exactly what I need to do. Plus, I realize that your heart cannot be filled with praise and depression at the same time. Depression is a choice. Mm-hmm. It's something that when it comes upon you, if you decide to yield to it and to live with it, then of course it can live and dwell within you. But Christ said that He is the answer for all things, and if our ways please Him, that He will not hold anything from us, including peace in our minds. The Word says He'll give us perfect peace if we keep our minds stayed on Him. So that song is one of those fun songs that just helps people to forget about what they're going through and just wave your troubles away. But as far as my writing time that I have together, a lot of times when I'm writing, I write because I'm getting ready for an album, obviously, but sometimes I'm writing because I'm going through some things, and then other times I'm writing just because I've got an idea in my head of what I feel a song would be good. You know, for instance, the I Will Bless the Lord song, I just knew that that ending vamp had to have a different type of drive in order to bring home the point I was trying to make. But then when you get to another song that I wrote, like Faithful to Believe, that's very wordy. That's very much in the spirit. I'm telling you, is there anything too hard for the Lord? No, no. Is there anything that He can't do? Is there anything impossible? That which He's spoken, He's faithful to perform, it will come to pass. So I write different things at different times based on where I am that day. Like I was writing a song last night for my new record, and I only got the last part first. So I kept singing, and I recorded it on my machine. And I'll go back and I'll develop it and do what it is that I need to do in writing. But I just have different processes because sometimes the Lord will give me a whole song right away, and other times I'll have to really work for the song to try to express the way that I'm feeling. Like on the I Will Bless the Lord CD, I wrote a song called Secret Place that is really a hymn. The way I wrote the text especially, there's a place of tranquil peace. My soul has found sweet relief, a special place where I can rest. It's in the face of His holiness. Those are text hymn type of lines that you sing like in a hymn. You know, precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand, I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm worn. It causes the listener to hear the words and be impacted based on the experience of where I was at that time. So the writing process is different. It's different for everybody.
Yes, good stuff. Now, while we got you here, I definitely want to ask a personal question that would definitely be good for me. I'm young, and I'm in. You already know what's going on. I'm young, and I'm in the process of courting a young lady, and I want any marital tips that you can give, because I know you're married and believing to be successful. So I would love any tips that you can give us.
I think, young man, how old are you?
26.
Okay, you're 26. I found that marriage can be the closest thing to heaven or hell, first of all. Because even though you go in it with the covenant of God's covering and it's honorable, there is a reason why you say for better, for worse. Because there will be times where it's better, there will be times when it's worse. Then you will say for richer, for poor, because there will be times when you're richer, and then there will be times when you don't have two nickels to scratch together. Sickness, there will be times you're sick. Then there will be times when you're in health. And then in the midst of all those things that he did not mention in the scriptures, then there's a whole other life of challenges that happens when you're talking about entering into covenant with a person. What I have found is that if you seek God first in everything that you do, and your mate is equally yoked with you, and she knows how to be your helpmeet, not your slave, but your helpmeet, and be
right.
able to serve you the proper
right.
way, and you be the priest, the king of your home, then
yes.
you will have a successful marriage. Other than that, you'll have issues just as everyone else does, and you'll have to pull out
mm-hmm.
Galatians 2 and 20 every day. I'm crucified
mm-hmm.
with Christ, nevertheless I live.
Yes.
Yet not I, but the
yes.
Christ who lives in me. But here's the part, and the life I live in the flesh. As long as we're in the flesh, we've got to be crucified with Christ every day. Because at any given moment, you can be married to the finest woman in the world, and one
mm-hmm.
joker will walk right by you, and you'll find out that spirit of potential lust could be upon you to turn back around and look at that.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with looking the first time. It's the second time. The first time you
yes.
admire beauty, the second time you take a picture of it, and now, you know, sin is entering in because potentially now you're getting home thinking about that same person. And
yes,
that's it's just so easy to enter in. You're so crafty to enter in sin into your life that you just have to be very careful of how you if you know, for instance, that chocolate breaks you out, you can't go into the chocolate
mm-hmm.
store. You understand?
Yeah.
If you know
yeah.
if you know that too much coffee makes you too wired up, you know you got to lay off on the coffee because you got to go for the thing that you are striving and wanting the most, and that's to be pleasing in the eyesight of God, to be the chief of your home, and to be a great father for your children, and be the man of God who's called you to be.
Amen. 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 That's good stuff. Good stuff. All right, so as we're wrapping up this interview, I do want to bring to light that you recently linked up with Pastor Charles Jenkins. And so you know,
mm-hmm.
you're under that label, and you're preparing for a new album, correct?
Yes, I am, and I'm very, very excited. After doing 9 records, you know, it's really hard in the industry, period, to be able to do 2 or 3. But when you've been given as many opportunities as I have, I'm very humbled and thankful that I fulfill my obligation with RCA, and we parted ways, and it was peaceable, and I thank God for it. And you know, I wasn't out there more than a month, and of course Reverend Charles Jenkins, who had one of the biggest songs at the Stellar Awards in 2012 with Awesome, and all the great things
right.
that the Lord allowed him to receive, you know, as a result of that one song. I've been to his church several times, and even on my last album, Memoirs of a Worshipper, he did the introduction on one of the songs called Good Anyhow. And he talked about how why the Lord has been incredibly good and just tore the place up. So, you know, he's on that record preaching, on my last record preaching. And so he, you know, approached my management about potentially coming on. Was I looking to be a part of another label? And, you know, he would love for me to be his first artist that he signs, you know, other than himself, on his label. And so I was
right.
honored and thankful. And I think it's a great fit because Pastor Charles Jenkins understands ministry, not just from the preach side, but he also understands it from the music side because he is a musician. And I
yeah.
think that if he and I were ever together in ministry, really to serve like as a pastor or a minister of music, it would be a modern day
mm-hmm.
model of a marriage between a pastor and the music
mm-hmm.
ministry. That would bring
mm-hmm.
forth all kinds of harvest for church services. It's pretty much kind of what I did for Bishop Eddie Long. Starting out
mm-hmm.
with him was rough, but as time went on and I understood his heart as a visionary, what he wanted, I married his vision. And everything that he would speak, God would give me prophetic songs to bring forth, and people would leave singing the vision that they just heard. So those are the things that I really desire for the body of Christ, that musicians maximize the opportunity to not be a hireling at a church, but to be a true servant and serve, and that pastors would not be an employer, but they would be a pastor to these musicians. So that way they can understand
right.
how to better be better musicians, better ministers of music, and better worship leaders.
Mm. Man, that's phenomenal. I love how just even your heart, you have a servant's heart, and you know is really blessing us. You know, we definitely want to thank you for that. How can we follow you? How can we support you? What websites, Twitter, Facebook? Where can we go to get your stuff at?
Absolutely. With my 51-year-old self, you can get me on Facebook at my name, Byron Cage. I'm on Instagram with my name, Byron Cage. And on Twitter, I'm Real Byron Cage. So hit me up on any of those. And, hey, my Twitter people love me because I try to respond to as many people as I can. And most people don't really think that's me responding, but it is. And because I'm on Twitter all day long. And I just love to encourage God's people with the word. And sometimes people send me direct messages, and I get to send them direct responses back, and they favorite it and retweet and get a kick out of it because they're like, oh, Byron Cage tweeted me back. He sent a message back. Because I'm not a superstar, as some would like to think. I'm a servant of the Lord, and I love serving God's people and prayerfully walking in the anointing and the calling that he has for my life. So everything that I can do will be maximized.
Awesome. Do you have any words of wisdom that you would like to leave us with before you leave?
Yeah, just to be encouraged to know he that has begun a good work in you, he, God, is able to complete it no matter what the economy says, the economic strategist says, no matter what anyone says. Our trust and our confidence is in the Lord. The Bible says some trust in chariots, others trust in horses, but I will trust in the Lord. Because when you trust in the Lord with all your heart and you lean not to your own understanding, but you acknowledge him in all of your ways, the promise of God is he is going to direct your path. You might be in a dark room right now, but stand in the hallway because you're getting ready to come into the light, and God is getting ready to bring you into a wealthy place, but you'll never find that wealthy place if you give up in the process. Don't give up. Keep God first in everything that you do. And all things, it will be added unto you.
All right.
Glory to God.
All
right. Lamont, Charlie, y'all have anything for Mr. Byron Cage?
Charlie, you can say, go ahead, Charlie.
Oh, no. I would call you a superstar. How about we call you a super servant? I like that.
A servant? I don't even know about super, but I am a servant. I've served as minister of music. It'll be full-time next year for 30 years next year. I've been doing it full-time. I haven't worked a corporate America job. It's just been ministry. So for God to trust me with that type of, I can't be anything but what he's called me to be, and that's his humble servant. That's how he exalts.
Yes. Yes.
There you go.
Absolutely.
There you go. And after that, only thing I can say is thank you for calling in and taking time out of your busy schedule and speaking with us and, you know, spreading your wisdom.
It is my absolute pleasure. It really is, and I thank God for what you all are doing, especially for the young people, because they do need examples like this internet site to be able to hear men and women of God to pour out their heart and to make sure that there's none that's left behind, because there are so many influences that young people have. But I'm grateful to God, as I was perusing through your website, that you have an affinity and a love for young people and a passion for them. And I pray that that very passion will yield forth a major harvest and a floodgate of young people coming to you to be mentored, and you can speak about this Jesus Christ and this gospel that has changed our lives.
Amen. And before you go, we definitely got to let out our dog pile.
Really, I love it. That's called a built-in audience, right?
Yes.
They sit behind us the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. I love it. I love it.
And like I said, I really definitely appreciate you calling in and taking time out of your busy schedule. And we definitely got to have you back on.
Absolutely. Whenever you'd like to, please just reach out to my management, and they will make it happen.
Amen. And you have a good evening.
Thank you. You all too. God bless you all.
Amen.
God bless.
Thank you. God bless. What a neat guy.
Wow.
I love it.
Man, I mean, usually I have words to say.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't.
We're all quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just blown away. I know. It was really good, though. Really good. We're going to start a memoir thing for you, Lace. I'm going to have all these little – I'm going to document them on there and be like, hey, here's your book. Everybody's
yes.
Like, I think you create a cool book. I love it, though. He had a perfect thing. Remember the last pastor that was on, too? We can probably put together a compilation. And then when you get married, I'm going to put it together and bring it to you for your wedding, okay?
Gotcha.
A whole compilation of everything they told you.
Because I don't feel like doing that.
I got
all
you.
Those interviews together. But the way I see it is like, you know, whatever time I get a chance to get some nuggets so I can put those things in my pocket. And I know someone else out there, you know, wants nuggets as well, whatever, whatever. So
exactly. No, I love it. We have them all recorded too.
So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. If you just tuned in, you just missed it, the great conversation with Byron Cage, and you don't have to catch the archive, because if you just missed it. Now, if you heard the whole conversation, I'm glad you tuned in, because he was dropping some knowledge left and right. I mean, like I said, I was quiet. It was turned over to me, and I'm like,
thanks for calling.
Let's do a cheer for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's all good. It's all good, Lamont. We know you.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good, Lamont.
Yeah. Thanks for calling. YOLO.
Clouding now.
Yeah, that's all you guys say. Thanks for calling. YOLO.
YOLO.
Wow.
Oh, gosh.
So what we're going to do is get into some Kim Burrell sweeter. Things got just sweeter. Things have been sweet for our show right now. I mean, because that was a sweet conversation. Definitely. So let's go ahead and get into that, and then we'll come back to the weird news. I have some really interesting things to talk to you guys about. Man, I should even, you know what? Before I get into the song, I'm going to give you the titles of this article. Joseph Andrews escapes Arizona jail to meet his Valentine.
Oh.
Gets arrested. Adam Howe's selfie photo leads to arrest for burglary. And Jason Willis banned from internet for sending naked man to neighbor. Interesting things to talk about when we come back. So you guys, stay tuned. Right now we're getting to the temporary.
I see, Lord, I'm in your hands. I know you'll comfort me. It's a little rough at times, don't know what to do, but Lord, I know you will help me make it through.
Every day is sweeter
than the day before. So good for me. You've been so good to me. Yeah. Every day is sweet, sweeter than the day before. Oh, sweeter. Learning how to love you more. Every day is sweeter, sweeter than the day before. Day to my week, 'cause you're so
Take out, I remove as a factor.
You don't know what he's thinking in there as far as, man, this might be my last time I ever see her. So if he's considering that to be true, why not? Now, I'm not saying I commend or condone what he did, mm-hmm. but what I'm saying is I understand the foolishness that led him. I do.
Yeah, I agree. That'll work for me. Now, this next story, how many times have we told these people, be careful what you put on your Facebook? Now, Adam Howe's selfie photo leads to arrest for burglary. Now, does this involve him or someone else? Let's go into the story and find out. Authorities say it was a selfie that led detectives to a suspect in the burglary of a Southern California church. The UT San Diego reports detectives found a phone at the crime scene in Chula Vista where a laptop, cash, watches, and other items were stolen. On the phone was a photo the suspect had apparently snapped up himself. Residents recognized the man in the photo, and on Tuesday, police arrested 26-year-old Adam Hall. Now, a search of his belongings uncovered property believed to be stolen from the Hilltop Tabernacle Church and RV park nearby. Further investigation led to arrest of two other people who were also found stolen property.
I want to see that selfie.
Right? Yeah.
That's what I want to see. Because I hear the story, but, I mean, a selfie, taking a picture is primarily a headshot.
But it's how
detailed could that selfie be, though, to give you everything you need to arrest them?
Well, it could have been
recognition.
You said that again?
You know, face recognition on Facebook, all of us.
Yeah.
If you've ever had your photo taken by any governmental institute, they can scan it and then know exactly who you are in a matter of minutes, depending on the...
That is true.
Yeah. Yes, sir. So,
That is true.
My daddy worked World Security. He told me, you know, walking at any airport, you know, that stuff you see on TV, that's real. But, yeah.
And you know what he gets for that? Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Now, Tom. Are y'all ready for this? Jason Willis banned from internet for sending naked man to neighbors. A prank that went too far got a man banned from the internet. Jason Willis, 31, was barred from the web for 30 months as a part of a plea deal after he admitted to sending men to a neighbor's house, one of whom was wearing nothing but a trench coat. Willis' ideal of a joke is much different than other people's ideal of a joke. The victim, whose name was reported as Dawn, Willis set up a fake Craigslist personal ad and sent several suitors to Dawn's door in November of 2012. He had my full name, he knew my address, and he said, oh, I got it off of Craigslist. He put an ad up there. Yeah. So she also told WISN that even though it happened more than a year ago, she still gets anxious when someone comes to visit. It's been about a year and a half, but I'm still nervous as to who's coming to my door, why they're coming to my door, and if I don't see a vehicle, I don't know who it is, Dawn said. Willis was sentenced to 30 months probation, which includes the internet ban. Dawn said she didn't know if the sentence was fair, but she told WTMJ it's okay for now.
That's a green to have your First Amendment rights taken away. That's kind of an interesting ruling. I mean, mm-hmm. speaking on a news perspective, like as long as you, you know, aren't allowed to talk in this format, you're good. That's kind of interesting ruling.
30 mm-hmm. months, that's almost 3 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm. This one thing I know. If you send a naked man to my house, I'm going to fake a seizure, and I'm getting you in jail. You're going to jail.
I don't know. My 45 might answer for me. Depends on what you advance with the door. Man.
Wow.
FYI.
I'm just saying. Oh, man. I just see hard. It can go horribly wrong. If, like, just putting myself in that person's perspective who answered that door. What if I just punch this person? I just lose religion and punch this guy. It's bad.
Yeah,
yeah,
right?
Self-defense.
And cross self-defense.
That's great. Wait, ladies and gentlemen, I see Deacon at the door. He's about to come in here. I'm going to leave because we haven't heard from this guy in a minute. And amen, amen, yes, yes. Charlie, ma'am, how are you doing?
We're doing great.
Hey.
How are you?
And Poetic Lace, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you
amen,
doing?
Amen. So I hear you're doing stage plays.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Was it good?
It was very. That's
amen.
What I was talking
amen.
About.
I am so glad that you can transform into different characters onto that stage. Because every time I see you, you seem fake to me. I mean, I'm saying, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. That's Philippians 4:6. And the request is, you need to be a better actor. Amen?
No.
For real.
Now, I want to let you know something. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. I showed a lot of patience by you being absent, and I showed a lot of kindness to Charlie during your absentee. And I've been very faithful and showing up on time for the show. Amen?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Now, Acts 16:9 says, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. And I won't be silent because I've been silent for a long time. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to go into right now before I return to my fans, I'm going to give you some interesting facts. Did you know that giraffes and rats can last longer without water than camels?
Oh, wow. Didn't know that.
So that means that you can survive without water a long time. Isn't that right, Lace? Amen?
Maybe we should start riding rats in the desert. No.
Did you know that more people are killed each year from bees than snakes?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did you know corduroy?
Killing more than that.
Corduroy come from the French corduroy or cloth of the king. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
They walk around noisy then.
And I have one more. And did you know that in Japan, watermelons are squared because it's easier to stack them that way?
Mm.
Amen? Amen.
Amen.
So
Before I go, I'm going to leave you with this. Acts 18:11 says, so Paul stayed for a year and a half teaching them the word of God. And I'm going to say, I am here for the next year and a half to teach you how to interact with an audience on the Covenant Cafe. Amen?
No, amen.
Amen? Hey, guys.
I don't know what has gotten into Deacon, but he has lost his mind. Next time, I am not letting anything else slide.
What happened? I mean, I had to come in the other way because he had this interesting look.
When you were gone, Lacey, he was trying to take your place. He said he was going to be your new co-host replace.
Did he really say that?
He said he wanted to hang out with me. He's like, oh, no, I'm just going to come on here and be with you, Charlie. We don't need Lace on here anymore.
Oh, God, that sounds accurate. And it was at one point he was like nice to me. And then I guess when I took that break, that leave of absence, this guy... Yeah.
I know, you always said he's mean to you when I was new and I came on. I'm like, he's nice to you. What are you talking about? Then all of a sudden, like,
saw his true colors.
I think it's sort of like, you know, when you're in high school, if you want to be around somebody, sometimes you talk about them. But you know what I'm saying? Not even high school, elementary. And you're like, no, I don't like being around them, but you really do. And I don't know.
Punch him in the head.
I don't even want to say anything because he might come at me. I don't know.
Deacon's a grown man.
Nice,
you can't
know,
use...
He likes me.
What'd you say?
The Deacon's a
as
grown
nice
man. You can't use no analogy, elementary school analogy. Grown man. He's older than all of us, as a matter of fact.
Right? Respect your elders. We learned that.
He's awesome.
Wow. You know what just because of that, you know, from what y'all say, he came in there, he went in. So we got, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to do, because we know Deacon needs some soul therapy. So we're going to get into Poetic Lace's soul therapy, man. Here on the Covenant Cafe. Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and the First Lady of Covenant Cafe,
Charlie Baltimore,
and the poetic person of the Covenant Cafe,
Poetic Lace.
And we're not gonna shout out Deacon because he left. And then shortly after that, we're gonna get into Lecrae's Faking here on the Covenant Cafe. So we got two hip hop songs that's banging right here back to back. Only here on the Covenant Cafe you're going to hear this type of music. You know what I'm saying? Let's get into some soul therapy because he needs soul therapy and he can be faking.
I got cuffs on my wrist like they bracelets. The pain on my mama's face, I can't take it. But it took this to understand pain. The guy sitting by me, yeah, he's covered up in stains. Sat it up, he's slaying dope to maintain. And his daddy wasn't there to teach him how to be a man. Raised by the streets, taught by the boys. Molested at 10, so he think he's Satan's toys. He struggles with his sex while he tries to look tough. He runs from his life, so he drinks and smokes blunt. Please tell him what to do like this is you. He's lost in the lies cause he wasn't taught the truth. Young man, I know your life is looking wild, but it's time to raise up cause you still got a child.
You can judge me.
Yes, I've done wrong.
It took a whole year to come up with this wordplay. It took broken hearts for babies to learn to pray. It's sad to taste pain to follow what God say. 16, posting pictures for love. All she wanted from her daddy was an intimate hug, but she never got it, so she went to the thugs. But even they mistreat her body, now she stinks like a rug.
Lay it down, that's what I'm good for.
It's what she says after sex, walking through the dumps. Baby girl, you a daughter of the Most High God, yeah, you're worthy. I can hear Jesus Christ saying, come to me. The point of the song, yeah, they did wrong, but hold their hands, let them know they belong. In a place in our hearts where the love conquers all. We are still God's kids, even after we fall.
They riding around pretending. I've been had it, I've been done it. I promise that it's all empty. They say they riding Bugattis. May put some babies through college. Quit trying to act like the trap is cool, cause we tired of hearing that garbage. Hey, bags white, pints of lean. I've been on dope boys since the teen. But this ain't what we meant to be. And y'all don't make no sense to me. You pump faking, ain't shooting, ain't killing, ain't doing. Had them things you say you're doing. But 116, we stay true and ain't dope dealing, ain't coke pimping. Talking about my own folk killing. We on that Jesus. So healing, so serious, so realist. Wild angry, can't tame us. Been changed, can't change us. 116, you can't shame us. Live that truth, you can't blame us.
I heard him say he's off the block. In his song, you say he gangster, but he not. Say he making money, cashing big checks. While his chain leaving green on his neck. I'm not impressed.
So my checklist make you respect, make you that, make you a faker.
Introduce yourself. Careful with that cannon, boy. You might just shoot yourself.
somebody wake them. Tell them to stop faking before they end up lying in the woods buck naked. These killers full of them demons. Why you pretending you soft face? You ain't really no ghetto boy. Why you faking that hard face? That just made them furious. Somebody call Fishburne. Set his bars in the hood. 40 cal hits. Burning hell burns hotter. I turn to the Father. I pray and Lord forgive them, cause they lying like Mufasa. They got these eighth graders with they eyes on the chopper. I pray the Lord save them before we drop them and make them
stop it. I heard them say he bought the block. In his song he say he gangster, but he not. Say he making money, cashing big checks, while his chain leaving green on his neck. I'm not impressed.
So why just that make you, just that make you, that make you a faker? Just that make you, yes that make you, that make you a faker. Just that make you, yes that make you, that make you a faker. That make you, yes, that make you, that make you a faker.
Definitely describes Deacon.
Yo. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, for real, Deacon, I was just talking to one of his fans while we was in our music break, and they said he's been on Rampage lately. I don't know. I don't know what you did to him, man. I mean, like, did you...
Who?
Did you see him when you were away? Did he come to your show?
No. No, I honestly forgot about him. No disrespect. What
did you do to him? What'd you do to him, Lace?
I noticed that. I forgot he was living. He was a living being.
And you know what? I hope he didn't hear you say that you forgot about him. That's just gonna add to the fire.
I don't even care anymore. After that, after his display today, I'm back in the fire again.
We're gonna have an intervention next week. Then we're gonna have the intervention. Soul therapy.
Ma, you remember how he used to treat you?
Yeah. I think he shifted. I don't know because I ignored him. I think he needs the attention. I think he has ASB, and that's attention-seeking behaviors.
He does have some
sort of attention deficit disorder. If you don't pay attention to them, they have a...
That man is off his rocker. I don't know. Maybe did he even mention anything about Golden Corral?
No. No, he didn't. That's what I'm saying.
Maybe
he had a vendetta.
Golden Crawl without me.
Maybe he had to see get his dose of Golden Corral.
Man, he came on the show with a vendetta. I'm done. He swore he can get it.
That's funny. He said if he wants war, he can get it. I don't know if he wants war. I don't want to say nothing because I don't want to be wrong.
You'll get it next. You'll
yeah.
Get it next.
It's like your parent, you know, when someone get in trouble, you have something to ask that parent and you don't want to ask them because they just got yelling at someone else.
Yeah.
So we be good. We're all quiet, like,
Yeah, and you're going to be asking for something.
Whipped and we're not saying a word.
Yeah, and it's like you can want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It's something really simple, but because someone else got in trouble, you don't want to go ask for that because the answer might be no.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
I don't know. What I'm going to do is I have this. You know, we always go to this one site, called inspirationalpoems.net, and they have different short stories on there. And this is one that I read before. I know Poetic really, really likes this one. And I don't think you've heard this one, Charlie. But this kind of fits right now, you know what I mean? It fits right now. This is one of those pieces. It's called Time and Life, and it says, written by Inspirational Poems, not by Lamont Ferguson, not by Charlie Baltimore or Poetic Lace. It says, written by Inspirational Poems, and this is something I'm just sharing, not to say that we wrote it. I had to put that out there so people were like, oh, they took someone up. Yeah. So it goes, it's called Time and Life. It says, imagine for a moment that there is a bank that credits your account each morning with $86,400, and it carries over no balance from day to day. Every evening, delete whatever part of the balance you fail to use during the day. What would you do? Draw out all of it? Of course. Now, each of us has such a bank. Its name is time. Every morning it credits you with 86,400 seconds. Every night it writes off as lost. Whatever this you have failed to invest to good purpose, it carries over no balance and allows no overdrafts. Each day it opens a new account for you. Each night, it burns the remains of the day. If you fail to use the day's deposit, the loss is yours. There is no going back. There is no going against tomorrow. You must live in the present on today's deposit. Invest in it so as to get from the utmost in health, happiness, and success. The clock is running. Make the most of today. This is when it gets really good. To realize the value of 1 year, ask a student who failed a grade. To realize the value of 1 month, ask a mother who gave birth to a premature baby. To realize the value of 1 week, ask the editor of a weekly newspaper. To realize the value of 1 hour, ask the lovers who are waiting to meet. To realize the value of 1 minute, ask a person who missed the train. To realize the value of 1 second, ask a person who have just avoided an accident. To realize the value of 1 millisecond, ask the person who won a silver medal in the Olympics. Treasure every moment that you have, and treasure it more because you shared it with someone special enough to spend your time. And remember that time waits for no one. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present.
That poem is so dope. What is the name of that poem again?
It's called Time and Life. Now, one of the things that hits me, you know how you just avoid an accident, or you don't know if you avoided an accident, but like you may be running late for work or wherever you're going, and there's an accident right where you were going. And oftentimes we think, like, man, if I actually left on time, I would have been involved in that accident. I even know, like, this goes all the way back to 9/11, where I was working with this girl. Her cousin never really was late for work, but that particular day she was running late, you know, and that's when the towers were hit. Her mindset was shot because she's never really late. It's just that happened that day, and she lost a lot of friends in that tower there. Anytime we're driving or we get into an accident, we always think, man, if I would have went the other way, that would have never happened. Let's get into our interview. They're calling right now, and we can come back to this. Let's see if we can get these guys. Caller, you're on the air with the Covenant Cafe. Hello?
Okay. Hi, yes, this is Darlene with 3AM.
Okay. Yes, how are you doing?
I'm good. I have the guys on the phone, so I'm going to put my phone on mute and you can talk to them.
Awesome. Awesome.
Hello?
Hey, good evening.
Hold on mute so you can talk to someone. Okay, we might not want to put your phone on mute. Hello? I don't know if that worked.
Yes, we're
Hello?
Here.
Hello? Okay, you're there.
Hello?
Hey, good evening. We're all here.
Oh, great. We're, okay,
3 a.m.
Okay, 3 a.m. We got We were a little nervous because she said she's going to put her phone on mute while we do the interview, and I was trying to figure out how that's going to work.
Right? Okay. Here we go.
So Poetic Lace will be doing the interview.
3 a.m. You guys there?
Oh, yes,
yeah,
we're here.
Hey, yeah, we're here.
That's what's up. Yo, I saw a picture of you guys, and I was like, oh, these boys are fresh. Yes, sir. Too clean. So,
thanks a lot.
So first and foremost, man, I want to say it's such an honor to be on the show with you men of God, man. I thank God and I praise God for all the things that you guys are doing, how he's using you guys and just the gifts and the talents, man. It's an awesome and a privilege on my end. So I praise God for that.
M&R, and we appreciate it so much.
Appreciate your support.
Most definitely. All right, so what we're going to do is what I call a blind interview. The whole thing is, I never saw that picture I just talked about. I didn't see no bio. I didn't do any poses, nothing at all. So we're going to do it like that. You feel me? You good?
All right, that'll work.
Yeah, we ready.
All right, for starters, who is 3 a.m.? Like, when I see the name, I think about waking up early in the morning. So who is 3 a.m.?
Kelvin?
Well, this is Kelvin. Yeah, this is Kelvin. Again, man, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to, you know, get on the air with you and talk with you and your listeners. 3 a.m. actually stands for Three Angels Message, and that's taken from Revelation 14. Mm-hmm. And if you Revelation 14, it talks about three angels that come from heaven, and they come with a proclamation that's broken up into basically three parts. First angel basically talks about how we need to fear God and give glory to him because the hour of his judgment has come. Second angel basically talks about how we need to come out of, as the Bible refers to it, as Babylon or the world and things that entrap us and things that trip us up in this life. And then lastly, that he's coming with a reward for those that diligently seek him. So that's really the essence of what it is that we talk about through our songs, through our presentation during our concert, which we call the 3 a.m. experience. That's really what it's all about, man. Just, you know, getting people to recognize that there's a Heavenly Father who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who came, lived, died, and rose again for the saving of those that want a relationship with him. He doesn't force it on us. He doesn't strong-arm us. It's a free and open gift of salvation that comes through shedding of the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ.
Okay, awesome, awesome. Well, now we know that there are multiple members of the group. So how many members of the group are there, and who or what are you guys' names, individually names?
There's six guys in the group, ranging everywhere from first tenor all the way down to an earth-shaking bass, who you just heard as Kelvin. So I guess I'll just kind of introduce everybody from the top. We got Mark Jenkins, our first tenor. Chris McGill is our second from the top. Then I have myself, Mike Medina, third from the top. And then we got what we affectionately refer to as the meat locker, which is the lower voices. which is Roger Mike Jr., Jeffrey Henderson, and again, Kelvin Mitchell on bass. And that is 3 a.m.
That's what's up. How did you guys meet, or what brought you guys together?
Yeah, you know, a lot of us known each other from other groups and things like that throughout the years, living in different, you know, different areas, different cities, different churches, and things like that. And the Lord actually has always worked it out for us so that whenever we needed a member, because, again, you know, people, you know, life happens. People move, life circumstances cause where individuals may not be able to continue on with what it is that we're doing. And that's all totally understandable. But, you know, God has worked it out so that, you know, when we needed someone, God kind of had that ram in the thicket, so to speak, so we can continue pressing forward with what it is that he's called us to do.
I gotcha. Well, just by hearing the quality of each individual voice that I caught so far, I am definitely curious to hear how good the music is. So, Lamont, what are you thinking?
Okay, 3 a.m., what I'm going to do is get into your song. You guys hang tight. We're going to come back, talk about the song, talk about what inspired this particular song and your other writings, okay?
Sounds good.
It sounds good.
All right.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, this is 3 a.m. empty here on the Company Cafe.
I'm standing here wondering.
music there. Very soulful music. I know everybody have their own writing process. What is your writing process, and what actually inspired this particular song for you guys to write this song?
Yeah, Mike, why don't you go ahead and take that one?
Well, basically, this song I wrote with a friend, Scott Andrews. Basically, I did all the music, sent it over to my friend Scott. He wrote the song in about 2 hours, believe it or not. Recorded all the parts. We went and we did some rearranging of it. Basically, went to the studio and knocked it out. It was definitely an inspiration, I believe, by God. And it's funny, the story of this song, it was not initially written as a gospel song. It was written as a secular song. It had been sitting in my vault for a little while, and when we decided to do this album, we took it out and looked at it and said, you know what, there's a definite message with this song that we could use to glorify God. And it's funny how God uses things for his glory, whether it's intended initially for that or not. So with some tweaking of some lyrics and some other adjustments, it ended up becoming the song that it is now.
That's dope.
Go ahead.
Real quick, so what it sounds like, you guys share a lot of responsibility for writing, not just one person writes the songs?
Oh, no, it's definitely a communal process. Myself, Kelvin does a lot of arranging as well. Jeff Henderson, basically even whoever comes with the song, everybody ends up putting their fingerprints on it in one way or another, whether it's arranging a certain chord in a certain spot or, you know, let's take the harmony here at this part instead of going there. So it's definitely a group process.
Okay. And then one more thing before I give you back to Lace. And then, you know, there are a lot of people that's listening that's trying to form groups or that have groups. So for those who are trying to form a group, what are the ups and downs, what are the challenges of having a group, and what are the advantages of having a group?
This is Chris. I would think you always have to look at the positive first. As you say, you have multiple individuals' inputs, so it's not just all on one person. Everybody's pitching in to have a collaborative contact, and then at the end, what you end up with is just something so harmonious because everybody has given a piece of themselves, and because we're all so different, it just makes for such a beautiful rendition. You know, you're blessed in so many different ways. But then you do have to look at the downside sometimes, because sometimes everybody may not be invested as another individual at one time or another. As we differ in faces and abilities, you know, we each have our own home lives and struggles that we deal with on a daily basis. While the enemy is strong, God, our Heavenly Father, is so much stronger. So, you know, we have to be there for one another, hold each other accountable. So when one is down, we're picking the other up. But in still our daily battles and struggles, you know, when you're down, that's still that moment where, you know, you have tripped up and faltered and you've taken that time out to just try to regroup when others are still on that wagon and we're still moving forward. So, I mean, it's an up and down process, as you say. They are good and they're bad, but as long as at the end of the day that we come together and continue to stay focused and aim for the target that we have initially set up, which is to be salt and light to this earth until our Heavenly Father comes back again and we all walk on that sea of glass and those streets of gold, we ain't worried about nothing.
Good stuff.
Wow, you pretty much answered a lot of the questions that I wanted you to hit in the head. You kind of gave a good broad answer. So with the little time we have left, I would definitely love for you guys to share with the audience, where can we buy your music from? How can we follow you? All your links, website, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Any events you have coming up, I mean, this is your time. I mean, share with the audience because we definitely want to support you guys to make sure that your ministry continues to push forward.
Yeah, the easiest way to contact us or get a pulse of what's going on with us really is to go to our website, which is the number 3ammovement.com. So that's 3ammovement.com. And when you go to our website, you'll see a series of links that are there that'll get you to Facebook, Twitter, all the different outlets where our product can be obtained. So you're able to get a lot of information from there. One thing in particular that we definitely want to make sure your listeners are aware of is really trying to get feedback because from a lot of people that follow us and that support our ministry. And one of the things we're looking to do is really get a good pulse of what people like. And so we're basically put together a survey that if your listeners are able to, they can get online, check out several songs that we're really looking at, but we really want the influence and a buy-in from our listeners and our fans and our friends to help us out as far as choosing what song we really want to push when it comes to radio. You know, one of the things that we say a lot of times when we listen to our project is, you know, we have a lot of really nice songs. We try to be really unbiased to when we listen to our music or what have you. And we definitely see that there's some things as relates to our music that a lot of people are able to be blessed with. So we want to make sure, you know, if there's a song that everybody thinks is going to be a really, really nice song that really touches and speaks of the spirit, that we'll go that route first. So, again, all those things can be found at 3ammovement.com.
Awesome. Maybe that's what it is. Lamont, it's on you.
All right. I would like to thank you guys for tuning in and, taking time out of your busy schedule to share your experiences and your advice here on the Covenant Cafe. Wish we can have you a little bit longer, but our time is short now. But definitely appreciate you guys calling in and definitely enjoy the music as well as the conversation.
We appreciate you having us.
Thanks for having us.
All right, no problem at all. You guys have a good night, okay?
You too. Good night. Remember, 3ammovement.com.
Say that again?
Heard six different
3ammovement.com. Don't forget the website.
Absolutely. Definitely won't. All right.
Thank you.
Put them up on Facebook.
Hello. That was a good, definitely a good. I love this song. The song is dope.
Yeah, it is dope.
So we had a great time. So Lace, I don't want you to get cut off. We got like 3 minutes. So what's the words to live by for the week?
All right, the words to live by for the week, it comes from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22. And it reads, "Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sin. Keep yourself pure." It definitely ties in or correlates what we were speaking on earlier about how evil company does corrupt good habits. So how we go through this week, don't be quick to curse someone out. Don't be quick to lay hands on them physically, mentally, spiritually. Don't. No. Straight up, don't. Control your emotions. And basically also, I mean, don't share in other people's sins.
Mm-hmm.
Don't indulge in it, man. Byron Katie said something really dope when he said, the first time you look, okay, you're admiring the beauty. But when you look again, now you're taking a photo. Now you have opened yourself up into sin. So it's just like that, okay, you may come across or you may hear gossip. Okay, you heard it. All right, let's drop it. But now once you enter in that conversation and start delegating with them, dialoguing with them, cooperating with them, now you're entering into sin. And now we have a problem. So we close out by saying keep yourself pure this week. Keep yourself pure for the rest of your life. I mean, everything that we say, these final scriptures, they're not just something for the week. There's something like now we brought it to your attention, to your acknowledgement, and you live this and walk this out for the rest of your life. Keep yourself pure. Don't indulge in other people's sins. Let's be successful in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Yeah, amen. And the way I handle those situations or conversations of gossip about somebody at work, I usually like, okay, yeah, that's the way they act, you know? And mm-hmm. I just gotta slide on out of it. Because the worst thing you can hear is somebody gossiping, and you know, worst thing that can happen is that you can have somebody gossiping about someone else and that person walks past and they assume both of you in it and you not.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we got 60 seconds. We thank you guys for everyone for tuning in. We had a great show, 3 a.m., Brian Cage. You have any closing remarks, Charlie?
Not too much at all, other than I totally agree with that gossip issue, especially the water cooler. Definitely. Sometimes it's hard, just got to stop and pray for people. But, yeah, not pitching in will definitely have it end at your door and not enter your heart. So, good news.
End at your door, enter your heart. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you come up with that?
I just came out of nowhere. I can't even say where it came from. Some of them random Charlie thoughts, you know?
That's funny. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in, and we'll catch you guys next week. God bless.
God bless.